Support for Great Minds is provided by The Wine Store, located at 1200 Central Avenue in Naples. The Wine Store offers a unique selection of wines from small production, artisan, and family-owned wineries. Their in-store wine education center hosts classes for the novice and connoisseur alike. Details are at thewinestorenaples.com.
Whenever I hear Sagittarius, I hear a line from the show called The State. You remember that from the early 90s?
Yes, I do.
Sadly, it's no longer, but it's where Barry, who's played by Thomas Lennon, and LaVon, who's played by Michael Ian Black, host a show called The Love Seat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's that time.
Oh, you know it's that time.
I'm LaVon.
And I'm Barry, Sagittarius.
And it's time. It's time for 249.
So you got Barry,
yeah.
With the parenthetical aside, Sagittarius. And that is just totally, for me, what embodies the Sagittarius experience. These are those who could care less what people think. They're fun, adventurous, and confident fire signs.
Yeah, you know, they're very independent and strong-willed. I think when I think of Sagittarius personalities, they're all about going off the beaten path. And going off the beaten path can sometimes mean making mistakes that would mortify most of us. But a Sagittarius is like, yeah, okay, I did it. Let's move on. I wish we could be that, right?
They look at you like, yeah, and?
Yeah, and. Mm-hmm. So here are a few examples of that. And when I say these names, you'll get where I'm going with it. Some famous Sagittarius, Nicki Minaj, Jay-Z, Vanessa Hudgens.
So you get this kind of like personality of, these are kind of unapologetic. Yeah, okay, I did a thing.
Yeah.
And they're not like nervous about it and hiding away. They're just like, yeah, I'm just going to reinvent myself now.
They don't whip themselves over and over like, gosh, I was so stupid. Man, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
No, it's just, yeah, next.
Or if they do, they do it totally internally and nobody really knows.
They may briefly and then they move on, I think.
But they're just so adventurous. So that's why we're pairing Sagittarius with Zinfandel. Because this sign's wanderlust and overriding desire to have a good time can lead to moments that Sagittarians might digress into overt cheesiness. Let's talk about white Zinfandel.
Oh, dear God.
You know?
Yes.
But overall, Sagittarians are easy to love.
You know, Zinfandel did have its regrettable leisure suit white Zin era, like you just said. But it's best when it's just in its natural state. It's dark and it's red, and it can range in flavors from a delicate floral beauty to this full peppery beast with lots of alcohol. The skins are thin, so it's not terribly tannic, but it is full of cooked fruit flavors, which make it an easy wine to drink and easy with food, but it's also easy to overdo. I guess, you know, like a Sagittarius, it's the party animal of a grape joined with the high alcohol fruit bomb party of the early 90s.
That was a party.
Yeah.
Remember the Australian Shiraz?
That's exactly where I was going. Yep.
You could not get more alcohol into a wine. And then it's like Zinfandel's going, really? You want to try me? Zinfandel's going to win in a battle of the high alcohol. I've seen Zinfandel from warm weather vineyards reach up to 20% alcohol thanks to that varietal's tendency towards lots of sugar development with that hotter weather. So you brought in a Zinfandel for us today to try.
I did. I was recently gifted this one. It's Shooting Star. It comes from the Steel brand. They have a whole line of
I've seen the
Shooting
Steel
Star wines. Yeah. And I kind of like the name of it, too. You know, I don't know.
Shooting Star.
Yeah. But it comes from Lake County.
Lake County does some nice zin.
Lake County's been doing some great things, period. So this is Old Vine, and the alcohol in this is 15.1, as stated on the tech sheet.
You know, and from what I've understood from winemakers, there's like a percent worth of wiggle room there.
There's like, I think there's 2%.
Oh, really?
I think there's a full 2% of wiggle room.
I believe that.
So this could be as much as 17. But, you know, one of the things with alcohol with me, I smell it like my nose hairs curl. You know, when you put your nose in it, it just kind of burns a little bit. And I don't really smell that. I don't really get that in this. Doesn't mean it's not high alcohol, but I get a lot of, I get that juicy big fruit just in the nose.
Yeah, it's definitely really fruity, but it just kind of, when you get it,
I get the alcohol in the nose, in the back. Yeah.
But I just touched it, just barely a smidge of a sip because I was getting ready to talk again, so I cut it short. It's got a lot of cigar box kind of feeling going on, that cedary thing.
Yes, it does. It's and a little leathery, cedary. So to me, it doesn't have a lot of fruit that I smelled. So maybe we just, you know, for the record, we just opened it.
We just cracked it.
So,
and it's a screw cap.
Yeah.
You know, nothing wrong with that.
No. That's a whole other topic.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But I mean, I think this is one that needs to breathe a minute.
It probably needs to blow off a little bit. But yeah, it's good though.
Yeah, I can see where it's going.
is heading somewhere good.
Maybe right down to my gut.
To my mouth.
Into my belly.
Oops. Down to the glass.
Well, you know, for the longest time, Americans thought Zinfandel was a wine that only grew here, being in the U.S. But in the 1960s, connections started being made to the Primitivo grape from Italy, which people there believed was an Italian grape. And you know what? Neither were right when it comes down to it.
Yeah, it took science to prove that one. So then DNA testing began to be implemented to trace the origins of a lot of these wines. And they found out that the official Zinfandel group, the Zinfandel Advocates producers, wrote that in the 18th century, there was a priest named Don Francesco Filippo Indelicati.
Say that again.
Don Francesco. Okay, here we go. Don Francesco Filippo Indelicati. He had a fondness for wine, and he sourced some grapes from Croatia, including Tribadag, and he planted those in Liponti, Italy. And he noticed that the Tribadag grapes seemed to ripen before any of the other grapes, so he started calling them Primitivo, which translates
first,
into
the first
one that's ripe, and so that name stuck. And as the grapes were so easy to manage with the surrounding climate, Primitivo really took off throughout Apulia, Italy, becoming the most commonly planted grape in that region.
Right. And so continuing with the history a little bit, the Tribadag grape arrived in Boston around 1829 or 1820s from Vienna, where it had been taken to by the Habsburg monarchy, and they were ruling over Croatia at the time. Croatia has a really interesting history of rulers and conquering, and it's a really fascinating place. But in Boston, it was received by a horticulturalist named George Gibbs, and it was used as basically a table grape and referred to as Zinfandel. That's Zenfendal, and that was a play on its Hungarian name, Zinfandali.
It's spelled with a T-Z-I-N.
Right.
So you're thinking tzatziki sauce. T-Z, that's the only other thing I've known that starts with T-Z in my life.
You're right, I can't think of anything else at the moment.
I'm sure there's a lot in Hungarian.
This guy moved to California to follow the gold rush back in 1850, and he took what with him?
Zinfandel.
Yeah, the vines. And they were planted and used for winemaking for the first time in North America at Oak Knoll Vineyards. That's in northern Napa. And the wine was received so well that the production of Zinfandel started booming, and it almost happened overnight. So by the 1890s, it had gone from being used as a basic table grape to being one of the most commonly produced variety for wine in the entire U.S.
Mm-hmm. And little did Italy or the U.S. know that Primitivo and Zinfandel were not unique and not their own grape.
Womp, womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp. We don't have our own little grape that actually tastes like really good wine
in
America.
Well.
So, I mean, if you think about it, you look at the Zinfandel and that circuitous route that it took, and then the different kind of lives that it led in its wild, wandering, meandering, party-like way. That's such a Sagittarius thing.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You know, I mean,
no,
just,
totally right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sagittarians can blend in anywhere. They can work any crowd. They're really, but you don't want to make them mad, though.
No.
They're a fire sign. Let's all be aware. And if you make a Sagittarian mad, they can let you know. But they kind of get over it. They don't really hold the grudges that
bad. It's a hit and run kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like a short attention span, I guess, kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, a Sagittarian can get bored pretty quick, but they mm-hmm. are always there to have a great time. So they're pretty fun. I like them. How's your Zinfandel doing?
Well, you know,
there?
I was just looking at that. Some of my let's try it one more time, or you try it while I talk. But I just tried it a minute ago, and I still think it needs just a little more time. Maybe I should bring an aerator in next time. But some of my favorite areas in California that grow Zin are Dry Creek and Russian River.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some beautiful Zins that are coming out of there. And I think of Moritzen and Limerick Lane and off the top of my head.
Do it. It's coming. It's
Martinelli.
Coming. There you go.
Thank you. God. I need to sit down. That one's hard.
Woo. Man, went
yeah,
into
I mean,
mental
so many.
Rolodex.
Yeah, once I start, I get excited. I'm like, there's so many I like. And, but they're just great. They're great food wines. And one of my best food and wine experiences when I first had that aha moment was with a bottle of Jack London Zin and this fatty red meat that I cooked and braised. And I don't know what I put on it, but I put some kind of stewed fruit as well. And mm-hmm. when I put that together, it was like, wow. I created this, and this is what it's supposed to be. And so I'm like, I'm in.
The palate marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, Zinfandel is one of those grapes that, on the wine list, mm-hmm. it tends to come in a more reasonable area.
Right.
And it's a steak-friendly kind of guy. It can work with steak. It
oh,
can work with a
totally.
Lot of different food items, and it can be a less challenging stand-in for some of the big high-butt cabs.
And, you know, I have a friend who serves this every Thanksgiving because of the cranberry sauces and some of the compotes that go with some of the meats, the ham, and she swears by it, says this is my go-to Thanksgiving wine.
And Zinfandel would also probably be something where you're trying to get someone into red wine, maybe someone, I mean, I know it's a big dude, but it also has enough of that fruit forwardness usually that could make it palatable and make it more approachable for someone who doesn't, who's kind of averse to a super tannic kind of wine.
Cookout and ribs, baby.
Oh, ribs, barbecue. You're talking my language now.
I know, right?
Being from Kansas City, every time I will do barbecue. No, this wine's growing on me.
Yeah.
It's getting better. It's not, I think what's kind of the thing with, sometimes with wines, you get one that is like a big nose full of fruity goodness, but then you get it on your palate and you're like, where'd that go?
Right.
What happened?
I'm getting a lot more dark fruit in this now, and I still get that leathery cigar bit,
that
too,
little cedary
kind of
feel, that like overtone. You know, like when you breathe out with your mouth closed after you've taken a sip, it definitely tastes like the inside of a cigar box. Not to be too specific about the exact moment when you have that sensation. Of course, that could just be my mouth, too.
I don't quite understand you. I think you need to be a little more precise on that description.
let me split hairs on that.
Well, so, cheers to the Sagittarius.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Sagittarians. You people are so fun. We are so glad that you're part of our world. Mm-hmm. And Sagittarians are great. They're really good people. And they're so fun. And they're fun to watch from
afar.
I was
going to say, they're entertaining.
Yeah, they're just...
Thanks for the entertainment.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, thanks for being the bold one to step way off the beaten path and to just go out and do it. Because if you didn't, a lot of people might not have followed you, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's kind of what's happened with Zinfandel, too. People stepped way off the beaten path with that sweet white Zin. And that thing took off. I mean, that was your first wine love.
It was my first wine love.
That's everybody's first wine
love,
almost.
I really think that's the gateway drug. You know? White Zin.
It is. I mean, and it can be great. And also, we got to remember, too, there can be the peppery, spicy kind of Zinfandel, and there can be the really delicate, floral kind of spice of Zinfandel. But it's a varied grape, and it's not that out of reach price-wise to be able to try a lot of different kinds.
There are a couple, speaking of the white Zin of the past, the pink stuff, there are two winemakers that I know in particular. One was Turley, and one is the Wanted Zin. Mm-hmm. And they just put Zin on there, and it's pink. And everyone's like, ooh, can't try that. But, you know, it's a blush. It's a rosé of Zinfandel.
But it's
so
a dry.
So they're trying to claim it back. Trying to claim back the pink stuff and say, no, we can make some really good stuff with Zinfandel. It doesn't have to be sweet and the gateway wine.
And I've tried Turley's white version, they don't call it white Zin, but the rosé of Zinfandel. And it tastes different from other dry rosés. It definitely, because it's a different grape, you know? And I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's such a big grape, and there's a lot more skin to juice kind of situation going on than most of the other grapes that are used for these dry rosés.
Yep.
You have a lot of Grenache, a lot of Pinot Noir, and then Zinfandel is just this big dude with thin skin that you don't, you know what I mean? I think it's maybe that ratio that kind of changes kind of flavors and the organoleptics that you end up with in the bottle, to use a word of the day toilet paper kind of word.
Well, thank you. I'm going to use that in a sentence three times when I leave here.
Sorry. It's a straight up dork out. Anyway, well, Great Minds is produced at WGCU Studios on FGCU campus in Fort Myers, Florida. Our producers for online media are Anna Bejarano and Tara Callaghan. Technical production is by Mike and Irie.
Great Minds theme music for Zante is by Colin Mannon. To get in touch, check out grapeminds.org. Thanks for listening.